Hey, greetings, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Stare Down. We're doing them on demand these days. And once again, our buddy Bill Risser is on sabbatical working in Australia virtually. But I'm Sean Carpenter in Cape Coral, Florida. We got Todd Meininger up in Cumming, Georgia, and Anthony Malafronte just north of me in Tampa, Florida. What's up, boys? Todd, Mal, been a long time. Todd, what have you been up to?
And it has been a little while. Some good sports action happening right now. Can't wait to chat about it. I miss the rhythm of the stare down that we used to have, but on the same token, it's not taken for granted. And it kind of, when we get together, it's kind of like, wow, you know, it's a little more special, right? You can appreciate it more. So hopefully sometime soon we'll get back in the rhythm, but certainly grateful to be here and chat with you boys for a couple minutes about sports. Work is gangbusters, wide open, as they like to call it here down in the South. I guess it's a NASCAR reference that I never really understood, but don't tell the guys I call on. I just shake my head and smile. But yeah, everything good. Highlight for me is this Sunday I drove over to Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia, and had lunch with my son. It was kind of a impromptu spur of the moment. I decided to do it late Friday. He gave me he RSVP'd Saturday, come on over, and had just an awesome time. So it's just, as you know, boys, those moments are pretty cool, pretty special, and glad to see him, and glad to be here. Can't wait to talk sports with you boys.
Awesome. Anthony, what's going on with you, buddy? How's the great trip to Napa look like on virtual?
We were, the lovely bride and I were there for 4 days last week. Was really nice to get away, to be outside. It's a pretty special place. We had a great time. Saw some beautiful country, stuff that Lydia's never seen before. So that was really nice. Stayed in a beautiful hotel in Yountville. Shout out to the Hotel Villaggio. I'm sure no one's going to be hearing this, but if you do, I can highly recommend the Hotel Villaggio in Yountville. Ate some great meals, and surprisingly, one place was a little on the pricey side, but the food was wonderful. Everything was fresh. And as you guys saw, we flew into San Francisco and spent some time at Fisherman's Wharf. And before we drove up to Napa, went to Haight-Ashbury, which honestly, I got choked up, man, standing in front of the Grateful Dead house on 710 Ashbury.
Did you look it up on like a map, or did you look up on Google, or how'd you know where to go to?
I knew that the Grateful Dead lived at 710 Ashbury, and I knew that Janis Joplin lived at 635 Ashbury, right? Okay. And there were other people that lived in and around. It's just like stuck in my brain. So when we were leaving, right, we went into the Fisherman's Wharf, and then we had to get over the Golden Gate Bridge. And going to Haight-Ashbury was a option to get to the Golden Gate Bridge. So we drove up there and we walked around a little bit and saw the hippies and stood in front of the Grateful Dead house. I got my picture taken. I put the My Tampa Agent sticker on the tree out front.
And that was great.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And I was surprised, but I did get a little choked up standing next to the stairs that Jerry and Bobby and those, and you know, and Pigpen and everybody, and that they walked up those stairs a bunch of times. The poor guy who lives in the house now had to put a gate in front of the stairs because there's so many people who come to the house.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful trip. I can recommend, and I'm an okay wine drinker. I mean, I like wine. I can tell a decent bottle of wine from a bad one. I'd be lying to you if I wasn't like starving for a beer at one point. Because after a while, I mean, I walked around for a week with a purple tongue, and after a while, they all taste the same to me. Right? I'm not that wine connoisseur. Yeah. I can tell you a really bad glass of wine, and we drank so many really good glasses of wine that after a while, they all tasted the same.
Sure. That's the name of our next album, boys. Starving for a Beer.
that'll be our charity event.
Yeah. So. No, and at one meal we had And not that we were tired of wine, because we did have a glass of wine with dinner, but when the guy came to ask us what we want, we both ordered a Manhattan, right? A nice bourbon Manhattan. It was delicious. I mean, the whole place is just, there's a certain symmetry to Napa that makes it very calming, very soothing. The grapes and the vines and the vineyards, the way they're planted, everything is so symmetrical.
And yeah, it's pretty cool, yeah.
When you're driving by them, all of a sudden you're seeing these patterns. Every time you go into a place where the barrels are, they're not just stacked up willy-nilly. They're all stacked up perfectly. It's just a really, it's a great place. And we had a great time. Great time. And now we're back at work, man. Getting up, showing up, and doing more work than ever to help our clients.
Yeah, and I got to thank you. I appreciate having the team you do to kind of cover you and go to Napa and have fun with Lydia and not have to be kind of checking in every hour and, you know.
Well, it's, if I had a really big team, Sean, I don't know if I could do that, but having the team that we do have, I didn't have to worry about a thing the entire time I was gone, which is, it's a true blessing, man. It really is. It's a blessing. And so a big shout out to Bill, to Eric, to Angela, and to Ray for doing all the things that they did while I was gone, because it made a world of difference for Lydia and I.
That's great. Really good. Guys, I'm wrapping up my week. Last time we talked, I was down here in Cape Coral. We're almost done with our work where it's warm weather. And we head back north on Thursday, but been busy down here and had a great time, you know, and just enjoying life. Mal, you know, you've been talking offline. My wife is all on board with finding a place down here and, you know, not getting any younger and just, you know, still trying to figure it out with three living parents back home and, you know,
logistics
and timing and, you know, I think I can certainly speak from down here. And, you know, I'm leaning towards near the Tampa area now, because that Tampa airport was Southwest and you just got so many more flight options than, you know, Fort Myers airport. I mean, Fort Myers, you're going to connect everywhere. Whereas, you know, for the most of the Eastern Seaboard from Tampa, you can get somewhere direct, you know.
We are lucky to live where we live and have the airport that we have and the infrastructure that we have. There's no question about it. Tampa, I'm biased, but it's a great city. It's a great city. And we're going to find you and Rhonda the perfect place.
A lot of cool places around there. So, guys, let's talk a little sports. I got my phone pulled up. Let's obviously start with March Madness. We're in the heat of it. My bracket is shit, so we don't need to talk about that, because with Kentucky going down, which we'll maybe talk about. You know what's kind of cool about this year's tournament is there's no team that you're saying right now is, oh, they're going to win it. Because Gonzaga, I think, was the number one pick for most people, but they, you know, didn't look great against Georgia State. They came out and, you know, kind of turned it on in the second half, and they really, really struggled to win against Memphis. Let's start in the West with Gonzaga, because I think they're the number one overall seed. They're going to play Arkansas on Thursday night, I believe, and then Texas Tech plays Duke. So you got 1-4. 3-2. So all seeds hold there. Todd, what are your thoughts on any of those teams? Texas Tech, you know, stretched against Notre Dame and, you know, kind of won at the end. Duke was down five with just a few minutes to go against Michigan State. You know, Tom Izzo, Coach K. Coach K's going to either win his last game or lose his last game. That's it. I mean, he's got two choices and it's his last game. So, well, I just mean, like, he's either going out, you know, it'll be a big deal when he finishes.
Yeah, the West is certainly interesting. If you're a Gonzaga fan, you're thrilled that you haven't played your best basketball. You're the number one seed. You got, you know, if you start getting your stride going, you're fine. So you're actually happy to, quote unquote, survive in advance. Arkansas, everyone thinks we're weird if you're outside the SEC, but when you're inside the SEC, you kind of pull for them to do their thing. Texas Tech's, I think, the interesting one of this group. I can see them, you know, going far. And then Duke, if Coach K, and I'm not a fan. I don't dislike him, but I'm not a Duke slash Coach K diehard follower. But if he wins, he has 100 tournament victories, which would be cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So West is intriguing. The West side of the bracket is fun. Fun for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's Arkansas is, I think, the only SEC team left.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I had Auburn beating Kentucky in my bracket. So wish me well. I donated to my pool, right?
Well, let's go across the other side, because these teams will face the South bracket. Arizona, number one seed, still alive. They're going to play Houston. And Villanova is going to play Michigan, who upset Tennessee. A lot of people thought Michigan shouldn't be in the tournament, but they've worked their way through two rounds. Mal, I know you kind of always kind of keep your eye on the East teams, Villanova, Providence. Nova beat Ohio State. Arizona, man, they were looking good, and all of a sudden TCU took them to overtime. And really, that was a weird call at the end of that game, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? It absolutely was.
Or actually, it wasn't a call. It was no call.
The non-call was weird. But TCU has got a little bit of a New England Eastern, you know,
with Jamie Dixon.
Yeah. With Jamie Dixon, right? He, you know, he's done an amazing job there. He's back coaching at his alma mater after being the highest paid guy in Pennsylvania for a long time. He's done a great job recruiting. They could have won that game. Arizona was exposed a little bit for being a little less scrappy and a little young, I think. But for me, we have two 11 seeds, a 10 seed, and a 15 seed still in the game, right? I don't think any of them are going to go past the game that they're in. The only one that has a possibility, I think, is Michigan over Villanova. Michigan is, they're a decent team. They kind of, Tennessee's okay, but they exposed Tennessee for who they are. Colorado State, I believe, is who they played in the first round. They're the weakest of the six seeds. And it could be argued that Michigan was the strongest of the 11 seeds.
Yeah.
But, you know, but anytime you get, I mean, Iowa State and Miami, right? Just think about that. That's an 11 seed and a 10 seed. I don't know anyone who has both of those teams still in their bracket.
There are seven brackets in the ESPN thing that are still perfect. Seven.
You got seven. Wow.
That's fascinating.
With St. Peter's and with Miami versus, yep. You know,
that's,
yeah, it's crazy. So,
hey Sean, real quick, and I'll let
you know. I texted you because you're a unicorns guy.
Oh, fire. Yeah. Which, I forget which,
the Houston.
Oh, you,
I just love the dark black with the red numbers was so cool.
Yeah. Hey, Juwan Howard, Michigan. He got a lot of flack, rightfully so, with the whole handshake gate, right? And, you know, words were exchanged. And I felt him, the Tennessee guard, Sean.
You consoling the guy from Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't, like, I actually felt that was genuine. That wasn't him being calculated in the PR, I need to get back in good graces. So I actually like to see that, because I think he got a lot of flack, rightfully so. And then guys, I still remember the Fab Five. To me, Juwan Howard is the starting center of Michigan, right? And they're trying to win a championship. So it's odd to get old and watch your guys grow up. But anyway, I thought it was a nice moment, and I don't think it was calculated. I think it was genuine, which is,
yeah. But you know, it's funny. I watched many handshakes at the end of the games the last, you know, 4 days, and the number of coaches that would go up and, you know, like kind of like put their hand on the chest of the losing coach or hug. And all the people during Juwan Howard saying, like, you never touch a coach, you know, guards should never have touched him. I'm like, that's right. Just what coaches do. They hug and they pat and they fist bump and they touch, you know? So it's so funny how no one's really saying, like, oh my God, I can't believe they got in Calipari's space by hugging him after the game. And it's like, that's what they do. That's what coaches do.
Hey, have you guys ever watched The Boys of Fall, Kenny Chesney's little documentary about football?
No.
Write it down. Watch it.
Writing it down right now.
But they talk about in sports, and this is specifically football, but your circle just gets bigger. You start with a team, you're an assistant coach, you go to a different team. All these guys know each other, and they've crossed paths a million times. And I imagine it's like you guys, you know, at maybe different, but at
some real estate conferences. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you know these people. So again, Juwan got flack, rightfully so, but you're right, Sean. These guys know each other. Once the final whistle's done, you know, you hug each other, you know, they were best friends and they respect each other, you know, currently, but yeah, the circle gets bigger. The coaching circle gets bigger. Yeah. So watch that documentary. It's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, Kansas is probably the number one seed that has looked the least vulnerable, although against Creighton, they were, you know, they were only up three, you know, kind of at the end of the game. As you said, you know, Providence, probably the team that's kind of had the widest margins, you know, they beat Richmond by 28. They're going to play Kansas on this week. That Iowa State Miami, very, very, you know, interesting, true hard grit teams. And then down the South, you know, or in the opposite bracket, where the only one seed that's lost was Baylor. Man, did they try and come back. They were 25 points down with 10 minutes to go in the game. It took North Carolina to overtime. It was almost the one of the most colossal chokes ever.
And who thought North Carolina would win once overtime came?
Oh my God. I
thought there were people who thought they'd get killed, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's regrouping for sure.
And what's his name? Jackott or the guy that was getting all the rebounds, but he just could not find the bottom of the rim on a free throw. And he kept getting the rebounds and then they were fouling him. And it was just a frustrating thing. UCLA plays Carolina. So talk about a blue blood Sweet 16 matchup, UCLA, Carolina, and then Purdue St. Peter's, right? St. Peter's beats Kentucky and then beats Murray State. Al, as you said, you know, can they make it to the, you know, I mean, the last double digit seed to make the Final Four was George Mason. You know,
we're going to have at least one double digit seed in the Final Eight. And then we'll see if any of them make it to the Final Four, right? Iowa State or Miami has to win. So one of them is going to be there. And I don't think St. Peter's has much of a chance at all. But Michigan does have a chance against Villanova. And that would put at least two double-digit seeds in the Final Eight. And if that happens, Michigan will beat Houston if Houston doesn't beat Arizona.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Sean, you're a big Twitter guy, and I'm as well, even though I try to push away sometimes. But St. Peter's sent a tweet. It said, "Hey, at Twitter, don't you think it's time to verify us now? They don't have a blue check mark."
That's awesome. St.
Peter's basketball. I thought that was really –
That's great.
And I bet if I look now, they're verified.
You know, it's funny. In the South, Arizona plays Houston. Michigan plays Villanova. Isn't it crazy to think that the number one seed Arizona, who's been top five all season, can either of you guys name Arizona's coach versus Houston, Michigan, or Villanova? No. Right? Villanova, you got Jay Wright, you got Juwan Howard, you got Kelvin Sampson, and I have no idea who Arizona's coach is.
I'm up right now because I want to know.
Yeah. You know, other side of the bracket, you know, Gonzaga. I think it would almost be fitting if Gonzaga plays Duke in the Elite Eight and goes on to win. Because I truly think as Krzyzewski leaves, I think Gonzaga becomes the Duke of the next 30 years. I just think they've been set up to be that little school that becomes dominant, that gets some great players, that you're like, why do they go in there, right? And who is it? Who's it, Mal?
Ami Lloyd.
Could have given me a multiple choice, and I probably still wouldn't got it.
Yep. Yeah. Was named head coach at the University of Arizona on April 14, 2021, after serving as assistant coach at Gonzaga for the last 22 years.
Wow. And did you see who St. Peter's coach is? Shaheen Holloway.
Yes, Shaheen Holloway.
And he was the point guard, Todd, when we sat at PJ O'Reilly's and watched Michigan beat Seton Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's wild.
And that was the last New Jersey team.
89, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be good. And it's been a fun tournament. It's just, you know, the first couple of days are fun. And I tell you, I mean, I say it all the time. We said it last year and the year before that. Barkley and Kenny Smith and Clark Kellogg are so good on the coverage. It's unbelievable that, you know, the Rex Chapman and the whoever the other guys are, they're horrible. They're just so bad.
They're getting I haven't watched, I've seen clips, but they're getting
really lambasted. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, that they've done a good job of putting the big boys, Ernie and Clark and Chuck and Kenny
together. Clark Kellogg is so solid, isn't he?
Oh, he is just the smoothest dude ever, isn't he?
So good, man.
And he's
been around forever. I mean, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's give credit. I think Jim Nance and Grant and Bill Raftery are great together. Yes. And Clark is probably better suited in the studio, but he's really good when he does play-by-play as well.
What do you think of when you hear Bill Raffer? Bill, what do you think of?
Who do I think of, or what do I think of?
No, what do you think of? Like, what?
I think of Senate. I think of Jerome Lane. Jerome Lane always breaking the rim.
As soon as the ball tips off, he's like, Duke started up, man-to-man. He goes like man-to-man. Yeah. He always does that.
It's man to man, onions, right? Yes. You know, send it in, Jerome. Yeah, he's got a couple lingerie on the floor.
Doesn't Clark, big fella, he's like, he says something. Yeah, but I like Clark Kellogg in the studio for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just such a fun event to see so many people watch it, that the app and things like that. All right, let's quickly just touch on hockey really quick, Mal. We're getting not towards the end. I mean, we still got, what do we got? We got enough that we're looking at the playoffs right now. And right now, Tampa in a good spot in the Atlantic, but man, are they going to be like in the fourth seed right now, the way the numbers look? They're probably going to play Pittsburgh in the first round if the season ended today. Is what I'm seeing by my calculations. Is that what you're hearing?
Yep. No, they're on a one-game losing streak again. Lydia and I went to the games Saturday night against the Rangers, and I've never been to a game or watched the Lightning game where the opposing goalie was better than Vasilevsky, and the kid for the Rangers was so much better than Vasilevsky. And Vasilevsky played great. He played amazingly how well he played, and I mean, there were a couple of times when Braden Point had a point blank, him and the goalie. And the kid was like lightning fast. I can't say his last name. I don't want to try to say it. But he was lightning quick, just pulling pucks out of the air. There were a couple of times when Braden Point, Kucherov, they skated off the ice just shaking their heads. Like, wow, how do we get the puck past this guy? He was fantastic. And the Lightning made a couple. They traded Joseph. They made a couple of changes. We'll see how they made a change last week. They got Hagel from Chicago, and they traded Joseph away and got another second line winger. So they're changing their team up a little bit. I mean, they're still good. They're very, very good.
Oh yeah. Listen, I think if they can stay in that four spot and not drop and get that home field or home ice advantage, that helps. You know, right now, Florida and Carolina kind of battling for that top seed. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Tampa Bay's got 84 points, but New York and Pittsburgh have 85.
Right.
And Boston, who's the wild card, has 83. So that Metropolitan and Atlantic.
It's tight, tight.
It's tight, tight. And then out west, Colorado just playing great. I mean, they're, you know, 11 points up over Calgary. Sadly, the Blue Jackets are in that ninth spot in that, you know, they're the first out and they're going to be the first out. They have a big enough gap to make up and they have a big enough lead to not worry about it. So they're just chugging along. So we won't worry about that. I guess, guys, there's lots to talk about in golf. Let's go there. First of all, Sam Burns.
You want to touch baseball real quick, Sean?
Yeah, go ahead, Todd. I think it's
good idea.
Freddie Freeman's a Dodger, huh? Wow. So, Braves offered him 5 years, $140 million. Dodgers offered him 6 years, $162 million. So, Freddie claims that the Braves only reached out to him twice during negotiations. We talk real estate all the time. I'm of the opinion that Freddie's agent maybe didn't serve Freddie in his best interest. I'm sure Freddie had the conversation. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Right.
Conversation of, hey, give me the last look with the Braves. I want to stay in Atlanta. Now, he's from LA, so who knows? But long story short, Freddie apparently was gutted that he didn't sign with the Braves. It turns out the Braves signed Matt Olson, re-signed Eddie Rosario, and they also got some bullpen help for the price of Freddie Freeman. So it's probably a better deal for the Braves, but it's sad to see Freddie go. I wanted him to be the next chipper, be a lifelong Brave, hopefully go to the Hall of Fame, ride the sunset. But it was telling that Alex Anthopoulos, the GM of the Braves, literally was crying in the interview. He said this is the hardest negotiations ever. But again, Freddie claims that I think Freddie's agent may have not communicated with him enough. Maybe went for the best dollar offer. I don't know. So anyway.
All right. So let me ask you this, Todd. Set aside your fanboy and the Atlanta fanboy love of Freddie.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fanboy, but go ahead. I'll set it aside.
Freeman, Olson, next 5 years. Who's a better first baseman?
Yeah, statistically, Olson is better than Freddie. Freddie's more of the, for lack of a better word, the romantic, you want to sign.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's probably the Tebow versus the
heartthrob. Yeah. But I think as far as players go, and they got a as good or better Freeman, younger version. And they got to sign Rosario, got a bullpen guy. It wasn't a bad deal for the Braves.
And they got Acuna, they got Albies, they got Dansby Swanson. They've got, a major core, but they kind of lost maybe the heart and soul, the voice.
The poster boy, but
yeah, the big poppy of Atlanta.
If I'm Freddie, I'm saying to my agent, I will leave Atlanta, but make sure we get that last phone call and I know exactly what's going on. Apparently he was surprised when they traded for
Olson. Yeah, that's what they said. They said he kind of saw it on Twitter. Yeah.
Whole thing was weird, but again, Anthopoulos said they tried and tried. Chipper had some interesting things to say. Apparently they offered Freddie this 5 years, 140 last All-Star break, and he turned it down. And Chipper at the time said, "Hey man, you're playing with fire." And he also told young baseball players that you are the boss of your agent. There's a lot of agents out there that won't put your best interests for you. They're more worried about themselves, which, again, pregame, we were talking a little about real estate. So, anyway, sorry, man. I want to chat with that before we get in the golf.
Mal, your thoughts, just let's go back a week to, last time we talked, you thought the season wasn't going to happen because they were literally arguing about some bullshit that didn't matter. And then all of a sudden – kind of a day later, almost 2 days after we talked last.
Exactly what happened. Thank God they got out of their own way.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my immediate reaction, because what they were disjointed about, what they couldn't come to terms about, were relatively minor things, right? Thank God they got it together and we'll have what it appears to be a full season of baseball, because if they protracted this lockout, baseball would have died on the vine. It would have been an ugly death for them, because they're already having trouble keeping people interested in baseball. I think they did exactly what they needed to do to get it done. Going back, Todd, to your point about the drivers of the game, the agents. And Scott Boros was the guy who was the stick in the mud, right? The guy who was keeping the two sides from coming together. And it wasn't until the players went to the players' reps and said, "Here's what we have going on," and the teams not in the room represented by Boros, the teams in the room said, screw all that, sign this deal.
Right.
Want to play. So the guys who were doing the negotiating were outvoted by the remainder of the league. And thank God they did that. You know, I'm not a big fan of all the things that the owners do, but, and you know, the commissioner is a bit of a shill for Major League Baseball.
Don't get me started. Yeah.
You know, but he is the guy who deflects a lot of what the owners aren't. Their owners have a good gig. Why would they give it up? Right. They don't have to give it up. And they really, I don't think they should. I think they need to be a little bit smarter about how they do things. And they gave a lot to the players this time through. And the players saw that. And when the players that weren't in the room outvoted the ones that were, I thought that was a very positive sign that at least baseball players, for the most part, are going to stand up for the things that they believe they need to get. Let's be honest. We have to shorten the game. We have to get some parity. I don't know if we'll ever have a salary cap, but there needs to be some parity because Kansas City wasn't going to sign Freddie Freeman. Tampa Bay wasn't going to sign Freddie Freeman, right? The Chicago White Sox, they have a lot of money, but they weren't going to sign Freddie Freeman. The Cleveland Indians weren't going to sign Freddie Freeman, right? There's only a handful of teams that were going to sign Freddie Freeman. There's only a handful of teams that can do that. And they need to fix that. They need to shorten the game. They need to get rid of the shift. You can say what you want about the DH or not, but a little more offense isn't a bad thing, right? Football takes care. The only two sports that I'm aware of that don't do everything possible to get more offense in the game are baseball and soccer.
Yeah.
Right. Basketball, put in a three-pointer, can't touch anybody, can't do anything anymore. I mean, Larry Bird, defense,
yeah.
Right? Larry Bird could not play in today's NBA. No. He'd fall out in 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
He would, all right?
They used to murder each other, the Lakers and Celtics.
I know.
It was fun to watch.
You watch some of the old school, like that 70s Twitter handle is the best, but, you know, they show, like, just Lambeer and Rambus just killing each other, you know.
That entire team, the Detroit Pistons, could not have played in today's NBA.
Yeah.
They were thugs. But that was great basketball to watch. I mean, was it ever any better when Kevin McHale, this big, like, loping guy who was pretty tough, right? Or Robert Parrish, and I didn't root for them. I was a Knicks fan, would swat a couple of balls away and give you that evil eye as they did it. And walk by. I mean, there was nothing better than that. That doesn't happen anymore. Now they're hugging each other, getting invited to each other's weddings, and the players are. But my point is, basketball has put more offense into the game. Football has put more offense into the game. Baseball and soccer have not.
Yeah.
And we pay to see offense. Let's be honest. So hopefully baseball will get a little bit more figured out. I'm looking forward to the baseball season again.
It's April 7th, opening day, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. You know, Braves defending world champions, no matter who's there, they get to raise a banner. Always cool.
Great.
So I think there'll be some electricity. I think Freddie will be missed. The first series against the Dodgers will be interesting to watch, but I think
he'll be revered by the fans. They'll
Oh, of course. Yeah. But I think they'll also, you know, because they had no control over it, they'll get behind Olson, I think.
Oh, absolutely. It's a win-win. Yeah, they'll applaud Freddie. He didn't leave on bad terms. It's almost as if the Braves said, you're old, we want to sign you, but we're not going to sell out for you, you know. So
let's talk golf, boys. I want to talk about Sam Burns winning again. Another rising star stepping up there in Valspar. Wins a playoff. And, guys, we start the Dell this week in Austin, 64 players, kind of a match play, you know,
March Madness
of that, you know. I know the golf bettors will be on it, and we're 2 weeks away from the Masters, right? I like that group number six. Thomas plays Kisner, Luke Listen, Leishman, Spieth and Adam Scott, Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose. That's great foursome. You know, they play like kind of a round robin, and then the two lowest guys are eliminated, then the other guys go to kind of elimination.
No, just winner of the group, right? Not top two, I think.
Oh, yeah, winners of the group. Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah. Based on wins and losses and what points are available. Oosthuizen and Casey Noren and Corey Connors, a nice little international group there. And I thought another group that was maybe one to watch further down on the board is, where's it at? Looks like Bryson's playing this week, by the way. He's in against Taylor Gooch and Richard Bland and Lee Westwood. Johnson, Homa, Mackenzie Hughes, and Matt Wolf. So a lot of young guys in that one. And then Koepka, Lowry, Eric Van Rooyen, and Harold Varner. Yeah, I see John Rahm plays Patrick Reed in the first round. So that's wow. a good versus, right? A couple weeks away from the Masters.
Homa and Spieth, my two picks. Homa and Spieth to win.
I like Homa a lot. And Will Zalatoris is another guy I like a lot.
Hmm. Yeah. I think if Kisner gets past JT in this first round, I like him. He's just a good match play, gritty.
He's won it. He won it before a couple years ago.
Yep. He's just a good match play player. That's why they were kind of thinking after he won Wyndham last year that he might be a good Ryder Cup pick. Turns out Ryder Cup was fine without him. A couple weeks away from the Masters, just exciting. And let's talk about that. Phil will not be playing in the Masters.
Hmm.
Todd, your thoughts on a guy that was once, you know, one of your guys.
Yeah,
he still is, but you know.
Sure, it's sad. I don't know if sad's the right word. If we think globally, there's bigger problems. But in the sports world, I think it's kind of sad, right? It's a quick fall from grace. I think it's easy for guys to pile on. You know, hey, this is the real Phil coming out. I mean, this is a 51-year-old guy who's won and been very successful. Is he going to the Saudi tour? Does he need money that bad? Is that why he's not playing? Is he self-imposed that he's not playing the Masters? There's a lot of question marks. I would think if it was just that he shot his mouth off a couple weeks ago, he could find his way back. Something tells me that he may be leaning towards going to that Saudi tour and the PGA saying, don't play. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm looking forward to May 7th. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Masters, and I want to skip past it, but I'm looking forward to May 17th when his book, The Unauthorized Biography, gets published and is out there.
A lot of dirt there?
I think there's a ton of it, to be honest with you.
And he's just laying low?
Yep. I think what he said was the tip of the iceberg of, because there's no one's really talking about it. Now, the PGA, to their credit, has... You know, it's a game of honor, a game of integrity. Everybody's calling their own fouls. They're all independent contractors, right? They're calling their own penalties and all that. But no one has come out and said, I mean, a few guys have said a few things when he first said it, but this guy, Alan Shipnuck, every time you hear him, you know, he's been fairly freewheeling and pretty candid that it's an unauthorized biography that he got everybody who knows Phil to talk to him about Phil. Except for Phil. And the one time he got Phil to talk to him, Phil thought it was off the record. He thought it was on the record. He knew it was on the record. And he let that out. So what does Bones know that he's not saying? Phil has had his challenges with bookies and gambling and whatever else. Who knows what's going to come out with all of this?
Yeah.
And I hope he's able to resurrect himself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to need a huge mea culpa in order to do it. He needs a better publicity person than he has now.
Yeah. You mean, talk about that.
He needs time with Tiger had, but Phil doesn't have anymore. Right.
The court of public opinion is interesting because what he's done is so minuscule to what Tiger did.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, multiple escapades, cheating on the wife and you know, the drugs and the painkillers and the, you know, this crash is still questionable, like what his condition was, and you know, but once again, you know, GOAT, almost GOAT, you know, it's that weird dynamic that when you look at it, which guy did worse things? And so it kind of depends on who you want to root for, really. Who you want to root for. Are you a Bird or Magic? Are you Lakers or Celtics? Are you Steelers or Cowboys? You know, it's just which side you're going to root for, right? And so I don't know what changes. I think at the end of the day, 10 years from now, the next young kid that asks, was Phil Mickelson a good player? We say, oh yeah, one of the best of the generation. I just don't know how you asterisk it or but the Masters thing is weird because the Masters, they live by not answering to the PGA Tour. They live by not responding to the USGA. They live by being their own judge and jury and executioner. They live by that. And the fact that if, you know, as you're hearing or reading that they say, look, if Phil's suspended, we're going to back it. And we're just going to say, Phil, you need to take this one out. We're not saying.
Are they saying that? Or is Phil maybe.
Well, first of all, the Masters will never come out and say that. The Masters will never handle their dirty laundry. You know, kind of the old, we're not going to choose our membership under the bayonet of a, you know, Martha Burke. Right.
I'm wondering if Phil's taken some self-imposed time away.
And that could be maybe he respects Augusta National enough to say, I don't want to put the Horde Harden or what's his name? You know, I'm talking about the director in a position to have to step up. So I'll just not play.
I'll go one step further. I mean, maybe he's, in some kind of program where he's taking time away. Right. I don't know, and I don't want to say rehab, but maybe he's
like an anger management or
maybe he's taking time to reflect, and it's a 6-week program, and you know, he come out of this. I don't know.
How about this for an idea? Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta National, will give the state of the Masters a couple of days before. He will talk about the drive, chip, and putt. He will talk about the women's amateur. He will talk about the Japanese champion that they have. He'll talk about the tournament, the changes they made to the golf course, and the state of golf. He will not mention Phil Mickelson. And Phil Mickelson, in my opinion, isn't going for many good reasons. But the number one reason, there's no other golf tournament in the year that has more press at it than Augusta. Yeah.
Phil's not bigger than the game of golf, right?
He's not. All right. And you know, I hope it's out of respect for Augusta. I mean, he's a 3-time champion, right?
Yeah.
I hope it's out of respect for what Augusta has always done that he's not showing up. But if he did, all of
the
media would be, when's Phil coming into the, I mean, they built the nice, according to what you read, and the pictures that you've seen will never be in it. The nicest press room, right? They built a building that's huge. The nicest, you know, press facility for any sporting event ever built. And they use it 6 days a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And it may or may not have Asa Abloy hardware indoors on there. There's confidentiality agreements.
Get us a tea time, brother. Get us a tea time.
Yeah. Good luck.
You know, it's interesting because, let me see. So Phil won the PGA last year, and that would have been before the US Open. So last year he qualified for the US Open as the PGA champion, right? Not this coming year. So it's not the US. It's not like he has a spot in the US Open this year already locked up, right? Or does he as a Ryder Cup member?
I'm not sure.
He doesn't. Okay.
He does not. So that being a Ryder Cup member does not get him into the US Open.
Okay. I didn't think so, but I thought PGA would, but that would have been last year because he won the PGA in Kiowa before the US Open in Torrey.
But I believe as the PGA champion, he gets, as the reigning PGA champion, he gets, it's either 3 or 5 years invitation to both the PGA and the US Open.
Okay.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. So that would be a USGA event is not a PGA Tour event, right? US Open is a USGA event.
Mm.
And so you know, if he's suspended by the PGA Tour, he, but
once
again,
there's been no NL suspension though, right? There's been no,
but the PGA Tour does not talk about suspensions, but they,
I thought the commissioner said it's up to Phil.
No, well, it's, I think it's been very clear over the years that, you know, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, we talked about that. DJ kind of left for 9 months. Yeah. Yeah. I remember we chatted about it. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But, football news, Todd, big trade in your city. Matt Ryan going to the
Colts. Yeah, going to the Colts. And you could argue he was, you know, one of the best Falcon players of all time, right? I think, unfortunately, the business of sports, I think he was due a really large stay bonus coming up. And I think the business got in the way, perhaps. Of sports. So I'll truth be told, Marcus Mariota does not thrill me, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. It just, again, he may turn out to be a nice fit, but I didn't get warm and fuzzy when I heard he's going to be the next in line to be the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. So,
and now I heard Tampa got a new quarterback. Some guy named number 12, I think.
His name's Bomb Trady, I think. Bomb Trady. Yeah.
Tom Brady, I think, is going to be your new quarterback. Have you heard of the guy? Is he going to be good? What's the story with that?
City is nuts over that. Nuts. Who is? The city of Tampa is crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's nuts. But did you hear that there are a handful of betting establishments based in Vegas and other places that – are asking the NFL to look into who knew that Brady was coming back before he came back, because before Brady was coming back, the Bucs were 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. And now that he said he's coming back and they signed whoever they signed Fournette, they signed Godwin, right? They made a couple of trades. Their odds went down significantly, but the day before he came back, there were a number of bets placed on the Bucs.
Oh, yeah.
To win the Super Bowl. And they believe that they've been bamboozled by folks who had inside information.
Sure. Sure. What about Baker?
He's going to end up as a backup somewhere.
He lives in that stadium, though. It's going to be weird. I mean, those commercials are all over, right? I mean, it's going to be so long.
Yeah, those commercials are done.
He's going to end up back up for a little bit, but again, money talks, right?
Did you see the one of him locked outside of the stadium? It said no trespassing or something like that.
That'd be so funny, yeah. Yeah, does Sean Watson's I mean, the funny thing about
I've been here since it happened, but all my Cleveland fans on social, everyone hearing is the fans are kind of like, I just don't feel good about it. I just don't feel good about signing this guy. That
he's got 22 civil lawsuits still pending.
Guaranteed money, highest paid player in the NFL, higher than a person that's won 7 Super Bowls. He hasn't played in a year. He's got 22 civil lawsuits still pending. Yep. He might get suspended for cause. You know, I mean, you saw the tweets about Calvin Ridley suspended for a year.
This guy,
you know, gets the highest paid salary of all time. It's just crazy. It just is crazy. Now, once again, fans are fans. Somehow they make it to the Super Bowl. They're wearing Watson jerseys, right?
Yeah. On one hand, I give Cleveland a lot of credit for stepping up and doing what they did, because in the NFL today, without an elite quarterback, you can't win.
Correct.
It's you know, Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson aren't winning any Super Bowls, are not getting your team to the Super Bowl anymore, right? So you need that player, and they stepped up and did it. But by the same token, they basically made him part owner of the team in some regards. Right, he has a lot of control. He has a lot of money that's guaranteed, even if he gets suspended for 6 games. for 10 games, however many games it is, a year even, he's going to get paid every penny of that money.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts them in a in a very challenging position, in my opinion. I mean, we're just talking about Phil Mickelson. He said a couple of bad things about Saudi Arabia or whatever he said. I mean, I don't remember, but I mean, political correctness has put Phil on the shelf. Political correctness had Deshaun Watson on the shelf until there were going to be no criminal charges. And now he's the highest paid player in football.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It's very crazy. Odd. Yeah, it's very definitely odd, right? Yep. And
I have a very good friend of mine, Joe Carney. Shout out to Joe Carney, who said on Sunday, I will not watch any more NFL football.
Mm.
That's what he said. Now, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
Joe Carney.
Of all the things that have happened, right? Why does it trouble?
No, but you know, then he will settle. Here, another little Mal prediction in Tampa. He will settle all 22 lawsuits.
Sure.
Yeah, basically take half of that signing bonus and just you know.
I mean, Ray Lewis pleaded guilty to being an accessory of murder in Buckhead, and then he was named the top 50 greatest NFL players of all time, right? It's right. Just, I kind of get your buddy Carney, but why is this the straw that broke the camel's back?
Right, exactly.
Years of hypocrisy, right?
Yeah. We could think of multiple hypocritical moments, right? It wasn't that long ago that Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for how long?
Lake Oconee,
For having two supposed instances, right?
Yep.
And by the same token, Ray Rice, who was caught on video, film, was just one person. He's never played again.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, there's no logic. There's no rhyme or reason to it, except he's a quarterback and teams need quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Listen, guys, we're not going to solve the world's problems tonight, but we tried.
Yes.
What, like I said, we're jonesing to get back to our regular foursome on a Sunday or Monday night with Bill. He's been busy doing work and says we might need to do a morning session to make it worth, because he's 15 hours different with his customers. So let's go around the horn and find out what you got coming up this week. Mal, what is going on with you this week?
Tomorrow night we're gonna go to a Yankee spring training game.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Which I'm excited about. Go see a little baseball.
Yeah, in the park. I just found out. Nice night, right?
Yeah, it'll be nice. 6:35. I don't even know who they're playing, but I'm going to the game. I just found out that on Sunday, our foursome is going off on number one, because Bill Risser, our compatriot who isn't here today, is running the game. So instead of starting on 14B, we're starting off on 1A, which will be a nice change of pace for our foursome. And then besides that, we have maybe a listing coming on if we can get some stuff taken care of. We have a handful of buyers that, as I said before, we're going to get up, show up, and do more work than normal than we have in the past to get those folks in the homes that they're looking for. And it's going to be supposed to get a little rain this week. Looking forward to watching the WGC and a little baseball.
Nice. Good for you. Todd, what do you got on the schedule, bud?
Mal, you'll be watching the Orioles in the Yankees tomorrow,
Yep. So nice.
Get excited. Again, work's crazy. Just a lot of stuff going on. I always joke there's crazy good, crazy bad. As long as there's more crazy good than crazy bad, you're doing the right thing. Super, super, super busy, which is awesome. So WGC starts tomorrow, right? So Wednesday, I think, starting event.
Yep.
Thursday, Sweet 16 starts. If you are so inclined and have a little TV, tune in at 10 o'clock. USA is down in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
World Cup qualifying, it's big, boys. We have a little wiggle room, but a win in Mexico, which is extremely rare, would go a long way. So put that on your calendars. And again, just looking forward to keep working hard, and a lot of good sports going on right now. And super grateful that we can get together and chat sports and catch up. Good seeing you boys.
That's awesome. I'm going to finish up our work from warm weather week. We'll jump in the car and drive north to Chattanooga, Tennessee, middle of the week, get into Columbus on Friday afternoon. And then I'll just try and get a bunch of work done, meet up with some clients, and really prep for a busy April. I'm really excited for April, guys. I got 20 days on the road, a lot of big events, heading out to Florida for bar camp, heading out to Nebraska, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, out to Boston, over to Pittsburgh. Just really looking forward to sharing some wisdom. And as Mal says, getting up, showing up, doing the work. And as I do it, building relationships, solving problems, and having fun. So shout out to Bill and his colorectal cancer week. Yes. Todd, nice donation today and a great podcast. Kind of rewind on his podcast today, talking about his journey through his colorectal cancer treatments. He's all safe now, and just encouraging everybody out there to get your scopes when needed and pay attention to your bodies. So boys, let's hope for some good sports this week, some good March Madness games. We've yet to have that buzzer beater one shining moment, but maybe it's coming this week. So on behalf of Mal and Todd and our friend Bill, who's not here, I'm Sean Carpenter. Thanks for listening to this Stare Down.